Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazeri. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back with us on the Kyven Foods guest line is former Steelers quarterback Terry Hanratty. Let me remind you a little bit more about Terry's background. He's from Butler, Pennsylvania, which is about 35 miles north of Pittsburgh. We got a little Pittsburgh theme going tonight, which is fantastic. In high school, Terry was a four-sport star. He played football, basketball, baseball, and he also ran track. Played his college ball at Notre Dame, where he was a three-year starter and a two-time All-American and a part of their 1966 National Championship team, along with our good friend and Thursday Night Tailgate Hall of Famer, Rocky Blyer. Of course, Terry and Rock would reunite in their days in Pittsburgh as well. Terry is still ranked 11th all-time in passing and touchdown, passing yards and touchdown passes at Notre Dame. He was a second-round draft pick by the Steelers in 69. Played in the NFL from 69 to 76. All but his last season was in Pittsburgh. He finished with one season with the Tampa Bay Bucs in their inaugural season in the league. Terry was a part of two of the Steelers' Super Bowl championship teams in the 1970s. He was there for Super Bowls 9 and 10. And we're excited that he is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Terry, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back.
Well, thanks for inviting me, guys. You know, at this stage of my life, you're just invited to come. You're glad to invite anywhere. But I was what? I didn't realize I was still on the radar as passing yards because, you know, you didn't throw the ball that many times back then. You couldn't play as a freshman back then. So, you know, you only had really 3 years to accumulate everything. But I'm at my famous university right now. My daughter's enrolling, and we should be spending a lot of time out here this year.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations to
Excellent.
Your daughter as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Terry, going back to your time at Notre Dame, and you got to play for Air Parsegian. Unfortunately, we lost coach not that long ago. We just kind of wanted to get your memories of Coach Parsegian and what he taught you, not only about football, but about life, too.
Well, he came into my life, you know, as a at the perfect time for me because I was, you know, I was from the broken home, father was, you know, mother split up, and I needed that man in my life, and Aaron was the perfect man for it, you know, because I had a tendency to have a wild hair occasionally, and he would make sure that I was tamed down, you know, and it goes beyond that, you know, he would call me to his office, and, you know, I'm looking at your schedule, you don't have any classes for the next 2 hours, come on over, let's talk. And we just talk about life. I mean, and we never even talked an X or an O. You know, it was just, you know, how you doing? What, you know, what class you having trouble with? What do you like? What, you know, things like that. You know, just sort of get the vibe of his quarterback. And he was a very special person. You know, he lived to be 94, and everybody said, well, what a great life, you know, 94 years old. But people forget, you know, he buried his daughter. His daughter contracted multiple sclerosis when she was 20. She died at 61. And, you know, he fought for MS for 40 years for her, raising money. And to find out his son, Michael, three of his kids, three of Era's grandchildren, had Niemann-Pick Class C, which means you cannot get rid of the cholesterol in your body. And three out of the four children died before they were age 12. So that was so much sorrow in his life.
Yeah.
So it took a special person.
No doubt. Terry, like I mentioned in your intro, you spent the majority of your playing career, college and in the pros, alongside Rocky Blyer, who's a great friend, you know, of this show. We've had the privilege of having Rock on many times. Talk about the relationship the two of you guys had.
Did he charge you when you came on the show?
He did not, thank goodness. We've had him on about a dozen times, so we'd be broke by now if we had to pay him.
There you go. No, Rock, he is who he is. You know, just a great human being. You know, we're together here in Notre Dame. And then, you know, reunited with the Steelers after his little stint in Vietnam. And he lived with my family when he came back to Vietnam. There's no way in hell. I would take any bet in the world that he would have never played again. And if you just said, okay, what odds you give me that he would have rushed for 1,000 yards? Back then when 1,000 yards meant something, it was only 14 games.
Right.
And I'm going, you're crazy. I would have lost every child I ever had to that bet. I mean, it was, but he came back and, you know, just a lot of hard work. I mean, he just killed himself in the gym and on the track. And, You know, and Rock's a hell of a player.
And to that end, Terry, right? I mean, the Chief gave him a couple of years, right? Carried him on the taxi squad to, you know, kind of let him heal up, try to work his way back, right? What was that like for you guys, watching him kill himself, try to get back?
Well, you know, there was, you know, Mr. Rooney, he was just salt of the earth. And, you know, he said, Rock, if you want to go to, you know, law school, I'll put you in law school here, either Pitt or Duquesne or, you know, one of the schools here. Straight law school. And Rock said, no, Mr. Rooney, I want to come back. I want to come back. He said, okay, take your time. Take your time. You got all the medical people you need here. Whatever you need, I'll pay it for it. And,
wow.
Crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. He made it back. But he did. Very few could do it.
Bob, questions for Terry?
It's great to speak with you again, Terry. I want to ask you one more thing about ERA. You know, when I think back and when I was starting to watch college football back in the 60s, 70s, Terry, I mean, I look at ERA coming out of that tunnel, running with the cleats on. He always seemed like such a motivative, upbeat type of guy. But compare that to his X's and O's ability. I mean, this guy obviously was an incredible coach in every way, but tell us some more about his strengths as an overall coach.
Well, his X's and O's were second to none. I mean, we were never surprised in any game. There were games we didn't perform well enough, but we never went in and said, whoa, where'd that come from? We never expected that. You know, he prepared us for every single thing that we were going to see on that Saturday. And the thing is, if we screw up, the biggest factor is ERA took the blame. I mean, after the game, you hear his talk, it sounded like he played the game. You know, after that, you know, we shouldn't have thrown that pass, you know, it was a bad call, blah, blah, blah. He never put it on anybody but himself. And I think, you know, players really responded to stuff like that.
Yeah, great guy. And I wanted to talk about that 69 draft a little bit, Terry. I mean, O.J. Simpson, Mean Joe Green, Roger Worley, a lot of Hall of Famers, et cetera. Second round, tell me about your expectations that day and how it all came about when Pittsburgh called you.
Well, Chuck Noll called. You know, back then there was no big hoopla. You know,
no.
You sat in your dorm room. They either called you in the dorm or they called your sports information director at the time, Roger Baldessari. And he would call you and say, okay, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles chose you and blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, there wasn't this big hurrah where you, you know, get the rented suits and all the jewelry and, you know, walk on stage and get your picture taken with the commissioner. But, you know, it was just, you know, Chuck called and it was nice because, you know, you're going home. Basically, my home is, you know, 30 miles north of Pittsburgh. And, you know, so it was nice to be going back home. Thing that really, you know, in my athletic career, you know, I could not have played for a better university and I could not have played for a better family in the Rooney. I mean, they were, you know, I've been a lucky person. I mean, very young to have those type of people in my life. And my high school football coach, Art Bernardi, which very few know except around Western Pennsylvania, he is a National Hall of Fame coach. Eric Barsini is a National Hall of Fame coach. Chuck Noll is a Hall of Fame coach. So I had it nice, man. I had greatness around me. I had great players around me. And I learned from the best. And it was, you know, you probably couldn't draw it up better than I had it.
And Terry, the talk about, you know, and Bob, you mentioned, you know, you're being drafted there in 69. And, you know, you came along with Joe Green. And, you know, Joe, by his own admission, acted very poorly early on, almost walked away from the team at one point because of all the losing that was going on. So what was it like, you know, early on for you guys dealing with the mean part of Joe Green?
Well, no, I mean, Joe was mean between the lines. You know, Joe needed to be talked to. Joe's a great guy. He really is. You know, I feel bad for him because he's the only one left in our four-man line. And those are all buddies of his, and they're all buddies of mine. And you know, to have those kind of losses in your life. But back in the day, you know, no one. I mean, coming from Notre Dame, we never lost. You know, we got a lot of games here or there, but we never had a losing streak. And when you're at Pittsburgh, we open up, we won the first game against Detroit. Then we lost 13 straight. And, you know, pretty much got our ass kicked in every one of them. And then you start shaking your head and go, whoa, this is, you know, I think put me back in school. But you had to believe in Chuck Noll. Chuck had a plan. And to think about what would happen nowadays if Chuck was hired. He was, you know, relatively unknown, you know, defensive coordinator with the Colts with Shula. But, you know, no one really knew his name. And if he was hired today and he goes 1-13 his first year, where do you think he is?
Right.
He's not with the Steelers anymore, you know, or not with any other team. You know, they'd fire him. I mean, the Steelers wouldn't, but any other team, you know, you got to have patience in this league, too. Chuck had a plan. He knew that the talent on the Steelers back then was not great. There were some good pieces. Yes. We can, you know, put people around this guy, that guy, this guy. And he never traded for anybody. He didn't want anybody else's problems. He wanted to get them out of college, mold them to his specifications, and go from there. And that's where it is. If you look at those teams, they're all draft choices. You know, I can't remember one guy who was traded for. And that was Chuck's draft, and, you know, Art Rooney Jr. was part of the draft, and you know, a lot of other guys. And it was, you know, that's where they're going to do it. But you couldn't do it today that way, because no one has that kind of patience. Except
Terry, after
Steelers.
You
imagine the Steelers.
Yeah.
Since 1969, three coaches.
Right.
And every one of those coaches won at least one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you, if you were an owner, hire some GM, hire some head coach and say, get your ass to Pittsburgh and talk to the Rooney family for a couple days and see what they look for, how they do it. And it boggles my mind. It's not done. Everybody tries to do it other ways. But if you look at the Steelers, you know, that's a lot of winning.
Yeah, agreed. So, Terry, like I say, you know, after your time with the Steelers, you got that 1 year in Tampa Bay, which happened to be their first season, their expansion year. Team went 0-14. Ironically, your last start as a quarterback comes against the Steelers that year. What was it like being a part of, A, the Bucs that season, and then lining up against your buddies with the Steelers?
Well, you got to realize, no, I saw the NFL like no one else. My rookie year with Pittsburgh, we were 1-13. My last year with Tampa, 0-14. And two Super Bowls in the middle. No one's ever, I don't think anybody's ever done that. But we knew that the Steelers team, I mean, the Steelers game, you know, John McKay said, you know, it's going to be, hey, it'll be nice for you to start against your own team, your old teammates. I said, who suggested that? Because that Buck team was not a good team, you know, 0-14. And there were a lot of guys that, you know, we go on the road and some guy that all mentioned their name said, you know, we should have just, you know, mailed in it and saved the airfare. But, we got there and we started the game and it was like, oh, you know, I came up the line of scrimmage. I thought it was a practice to Pittsburgh. I was looking against the first team defense. And then we try to throw, and Joe would bust through the line. He would grab me and set me down. Lambert would blitz. He would grab me, set me down. LC, same way. So, you know, I don't think we crossed the 50 in the first half. So at halftime, John said, let's get, you know, Steve Spurrier, a great friend. You know, he said, let's see if Steve can't get something going the second half. So he goes out there, and they kicked the shit out of him. They were blitzing and they were going in and hitting him and taking him down. And he come off the field and said, "Man, your boys took care of you. They beat my ass up." So it was an interesting game. Put it that way. That's a, you know, Chuck let the clock run in the fourth quarter. Yeah. You know, he told the officials, "You know, this is not fair. You know, just let the clock run and get out of here."
And you mentioned head coach, you know, John McKay, who was a real character. I love some of the things that he used to come out with. My favorite was, we didn't tackle well today, but we made up for it by not blocking either. So he always with the sort of the one-liners. What was he like?
You know, always the one-liner. Like the other one was, what do you think about your team's execution? He said, I'm all for it. You know, those things are comical now. But at the time, you know, you're getting your ass kicked. You don't need a smart-ass coach coming up with this shit. You know, you really don't. And that's the way we all felt. You know, John McKay's great at banquets, you know, but, you know, if they learned how to coach better, we probably would have been better. You know, I'm not saying that we're going to go in the Super Bowl, but, you know, that's why that 1 year I said, this is it for me. You know, I'm retiring. I thought it would be nice to get out to an expansion team and, you know, sort of lay on them what, you know, I learned in my Hall of Fame coaches that I played for. But after that 1 year, you saw the whole makeup of the coaching staff and John, and, you know, you just don't like to be, you know, if you said that today, imagine that. He said that you'd have the Players Association all over you. You'd have every player's attorney jumping all over you. You can't get away with that stuff. But John thought it was funny. I'm glad he got a kick out of it. We didn't.
So, Terry, before we let you go, I got to get your thoughts. How do you feel about the Steelers, you know, this season? How do you feel about, you know, their chances to finally get maybe, obviously got to win the division first, but get past the Patriots and maybe play for another Super Bowl?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's getting back. You know, when does Tom Brady even slow down? You know, he talks about when he's going to retire. I'm just saying, when's he going to slow down? You know, this guy is a machine, and I think the most valuable person up in the New England organization is the offensive line coach, because Tom doesn't get hit much, and that's their scheme on the offensive line. I'd love to watch film of the line and see how they block, because you can't really see it on TV. It's just, you know, a blur. But, you know, they're always going to be there. I think the Steelers, you know, Ben stays healthy. I think we're going to be just fine because he's got a lot of weapons to work with. I think they're making a lot of adjustments on defense. You know, they've added a few pieces, and they had a lot of young guys got a full year under their belt. I think Mike Tomlin is, I think he's a wonderful coach, no matter what Bradshaw says. I think he gets the best out of these kids, and you can see what, you know, you can see that these guys play for him. They want to play. They want to win. And I think it's going to be a good year for Pittsburgh. I really do.
Terry, before we let you go, how can our listeners stay up to date with what you're doing over social media?
I don't do my, oh, you mean on Facebook?
Yeah.
I don't do my, you know, I sort of enjoy that. I never thought, when my daughter first went to college, she put me on Facebook and LinkedIn. You know, I didn't know how to do that stuff. You know, I'm old school. And I sort of got getting a kick out of Facebook. You know, you can sort of add and subtract who you want to. You know, anybody who's against Trump, I just throw them out. You know, but everybody else, you know, we have a good time and, you know, exchange thoughts and exchange jokes. I mean, you know, I don't see any problem with that.
Terry, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show tonight. Congratulations again to your daughter for getting into Notre Dame. Have a great, have a great time there. And we look forward, we hope you come back again and join us again real soon.
Well, you got my number, so give me a call anytime.
All right. Thanks,
Terry.
Thanks,
Terry.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
That is former Steelers quarterback Terry Hanratty. I love that piece at the end. I don't care what Bradshaw says about Tomlin. So that's great stuff, Bob. He's fantastic. I love Terry.
Colorful guy, and what stories he has, and always a pleasure speaking with him.